The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. That's Fleetwood Mac. That's Rhiannon. You guys Fleetwood Mac fans?
Oh, yeah. Time.
I watched a thing about them.
How can you not be?
Last weekend, I think, and really just described them as nothing more than a musical soap opera. They're just entire, you know, the group itself.
But they were good at it.
Well, yeah, they were quite
good at it. They were good at the soap opera thing, and they were also good at making some very nice music.
Yeah.
And there were things before Stevie Nicks joined the band.
I know.
And I've had some diehard Fleetwood Mac fans try to turn me on to the early stuff before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham were in the group.
Which is interesting. You know, they were a thing. Mm-hmm. She's got a typical male name, and he has a typical female name. It's kind of weird. The whole thing's just weird.
It is weird.
Wow.
An excellent soap opera over
it
the
is.
Years. A musical soap opera.
But some dang good music. Can we say dang on the radio?
I think so. It's too late if we can't.
Producer Brandon, we had to put the muzzle on him earlier.
He was talking about those water retention devices northwest of Houston, and he used their real name. And you can't say damn on the radio. Yeah, you can't say damn.
Speaking of things that might cause you to say that, Ian Satterfield.
Nice segue. Yeah, there's a segue.
Thank you. I got a standing O on that one.
Yeah.
It's my coffee this morning. It's the one for the month, y'all.
Every time I come in.
Yeah. I think we called you initially Captain Traffic Jam. And
it's
somebody,
major. We promoted him. He's now Major Traffic Jam.
So speaking of which, there are a few traffic jams around. Piles of dirt anyway. I've not run into a lot yet.
I know.
I mean, the ones I've run into are really not your problem.
Some of them are just getting going, too.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
We're trying to make it as least amount of impact possible for the traveling public. But, yeah, we've got a lot of projects around here in Bay County, and a lot are coming up. So, you know, we're kind of in the midst of this expansion here in Bay County. A lot of the work we had, again, was out west, more of Escambia, Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. Bay County's really seeing the majority of our new work coming up in our 5-year work program.
Well, about a week or so ago, I think we got the notice that things were going to start on 390.
Yeah.
And I live on 390, yep. So mm-hmm. I drove around, I didn't see anything. But yesterday, mm-hmm. I was out and about, and I saw that we're missing some trees.
You go look at 390 north of Jenks Avenue, and they are tearing it up. I mean,
literally.
Hey, they're gas stations disappearing, buildings, houses, woodland. It's just disappearing.
Yeah,
it's like somebody went out there, it was a Harry Potter, the whole thing, and went poof like this.
But has it begun to affect traffic yet? Now, Scott says it hasn't affected his commute, but what about other times of the day?
Well, lucky for most folks, any traffic or lane restrictions will be overnight. Obviously, 390 it's two lanes, but so much traffic. So for us to do any work there during the day would just be very problematic for people trying to get to school, trying to get to work. It's just not beneficial for anybody. So the work that we'll be doing will be at night, so you will have some lane restrictions at night. What people are seeing now, we call it clearing and grubbing, and that's where we're removing a lot of the vegetation. The trees are coming down. Luckily for this first segment from Baldwin to Jenks, we don't have any businesses that are affected where the building would be demolished. So you're going to see that first with the removal of the vegetation. Then we'll move to the second part. We'll move those utility lines back. We'll get those placed up farther along into the right-of-way. You're going to see some work going on far off the road. You may look and see why we're clearing trees way, you know, 100 yards, 200 yards back. Those are retention ponds we're building. So that's what's going to happen first. But people shouldn't see any lane restrictions overnight for a little bit yet.
Now, since we're talking about 390, I have to ask you this question. You know it's coming.
Okay.
has the dispute on phase one been mitigated?
Still discussing that.
Okay.
Regardless of where that is at, because we had to get into because that dispute occurred, mm-hmm. That project had to be moved back 2 years. So the funding was in place. The funding is still there. But because of having to deal with this issue with the legal system, we have to, you know, keep that project alive. So we have to move those funds. Otherwise, if we didn't, those funds could possibly go somewhere else. So we just reallocated them to 2 years away. So we'll start in 2 years.
And that's which section of 390?
That's a segment from 23rd to Baldwin.
Okay.
However, there always is the possibility if we can get this resolved quickly. You know, again, our 5-year work program, the nice thing about it is that we can move money. We can, It adjusts every year. So if something does happen in the next couple of months or something, for example, that money could be encumbered and moved ahead a year. So we're just trying to balance it out, but I think we're just trying to keep everybody's expectations at the point where 2 years is probably when we're going to start, but there always is the possibility we could move it ahead.
Now, does that shake up the timeline for the whole project, or just you're going to work the phases out of order now?
Well, yes and no. We've kind of had to adjust the phases, and the first phase, obviously, is the one from Baldwin to Jenks. We were originally supposed to do 23rd to Baldwin. That one was supposed to have started already. But because of the changes there, we're going to continue to move forward. The project may be moved back a little bit as far as its completion date. But it's kind of part of the process. Sometimes things happen where you think you have things in order. And you know, the state of Florida and the Department of Transportation, if there is an issue that a property owner has, we've got to deal with it fairly. We've got to deal with it in the best way possible. We can't just go in there and say, mine, and that's it. We've got to go through the process just like everybody else. And property owners have to, there is a law in place that they have to be fairly compensated for the property if they have issues or concerns. If they bring up litigation for environmental issues or anything else, we have to go through that system because we want to make sure when this is all said and done, all the problems, any sort of obstacles are out of the way and we can go ahead and get going with the project and not have anything happen to us in the future. I think it would be worse for folks if we were in the middle of building a project and we had to stop completely because there was some sort of problem or litigation at that point. That really is a problem for people to see that to happen. So we want to make sure we've got all our ducks in a row before we move forward with the project.
Excellent. Great.
Well, we are having our monthly meeting here with Ian Satter in the studio from the Florida Department of Transportation. We're glad to have you. And don't go anywhere. We got lots of things to bug you about. We'll take a quick break and some music from Queen coming up as well on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC.
Indoor baseball, anyone?
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Programming on 90.7 WKGC is sponsored in part by Sweet Bay. Sweet Bay is a bayfront village in Panama City designed to inspire natural and relaxed living with a dash of southern charm. The Sweet Bay community features parks, walking trails to the water, a future town center, and much more. It's got all the makings of a friendly neighborhood with everything you need just a short walk away. For more information about the Sweet Bay community, call 844-35-SWEET or go online to sweetbayfl.com.
Hey there, this is Wesley Ryan inviting you to listen to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, an hour of uplifting songs and the inspiring stories behind them. Join me for a brand new episode each week in August featuring my exclusive interviews with Lifehouse, Tiffany, John McLaughlin, Gloria Loring, and Matt Albert. It's The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. right here on WKGC 90.7.
You're listening to The Morning Mix with Scott Kirkman on 90.7 WKGC.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. Easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. To me.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
Mix on 90.7 WKGC and a little Bohemian Rhapsody there. You know the year that came out?
I don't. That's a good
1972.
Question.
1972.
I'll take 74.
She's got 74. Tom's got
72. 76.
Ian?
You got a guess on Bohemian Rhapsody?
I will go 1975. That's the year I was born.
You are absolutely right. Yeah. 1975.
All right, nice job, Major Traffic Champ.
But I didn't know about it until 1992. You know why?
Was that the first time you heard it?
Yeah.
Wayne's World
Wayne's
came out?
World. Yeah,
oh.
Absolutely. I don't know how popular it was in 75 because I wasn't around yet
in
75.
You know, until Wayne's World, I don't have a good... I don't really
It didn't get a whole
that.
Lot of radio play?
Are your headphones dying?
Or they're just, a little off, but it's okay. I'm good.
So are the rest of us.
Yeah.
No, Wayne's World 1992 is the first time I saw that and heard it. And, mm-hmm. you know, because
Thank
they were,
you, Saturday. That was a Saturday Night Live spinoff, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Yes, yes.
Dana Carvey and
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, good stuff. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. What if we could get either of them in the studio? That would be awesome. Producer Brandon?
I don't think Freddie's coming.
I don't think so? I do want to remind everybody now.
No, not Freddie. I meant Wayne's World. Freddie's not going to make it.
Freddie's not making it.
If he does, I'm out.
All right.
I do want to remind everybody that Friday morning we'll have True Soul in the studio.
Which is not Queen or Wayne's World.
It is not Queen or Wayne's World, but they are very good, and they will be appearing Friday evening at Backstage Pass.
And they'll be appearing here.
And they will be appearing Friday morning. Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And Friday morning, what is that?
The first.
Eighth? No, the second. No, not the first. The eighth, we will have the Jeff Carter Group in-house.
Have you already reserved that one?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
I've
talked with them, but we've not set up anything, so.
Well, that's good. I cut right to the chase. You want to do this? And he goes, yeah.
Well, he told me, yeah. I paved the way for you.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Okay. I bothered him with a few.
Is this a competition? Is this a guest competition?
No, I just need Tom to either do it or not do it.
I still have a few more groups to contact, but we're trying to
You're
score.
You're doing a fabulous job.
We're trying to score 100 on getting the Backstage Pass people to come in here on
Friday
mornings.
Doing good so far.
We're doing good so far.
It's 25 minutes after 9 o'clock. We have much more important things to talk about than whether or not you and I can schedule people. Clearly, I can't.
Obviously, I don't think anybody who's listening has any idea how difficult it is to do anything.
Right.
And they wouldn't be able to get here if it wasn't for Ian.
That's right.
And if it weren't for Ian, there would be... Wow. Well, you like done. Our set? We have good segues here.
That was fantastic.
Ian, we were talking during the Rhapsody there that would you care to talk a little bit about hurricane evacuation, what you guys are doing for it? What may turn into yet another debacle in Houston? Gives us pause to think about it. What would happen here if that?
Because
we're going to flood, even if it's just a tropical storm like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to flood rapidly here.
You know, the first thing when they tell you to get out, get out. I think that's first and foremost. If there's an evacuation notice, hit the road. Don't wait to the last minute because the more vehicles on the roadway, obviously, the slower it's going to go. So when they tell you to leave, just go. That's your best bet. That's your safest thing. But, you know, obviously, as you're getting ready to go, one, know which route you're going to take before you head out. Luckily for, you know, here in Bay County, for example, we have 79, we have 77, we have 231. You know, we've got three great routes that can get you north, get you away from the coastline. Mm-hmm. Then you can get to the interstate and figure out where you're going to go from there. But make sure, you know which one you're going to take. And we've recognized after, you had Opal that came through a while back and then Ivan and everything else that we've seen. You know, one of the things that we needed to do after those storms was how do we get people away from the coast quickly and safely? So what we have done as an agency is we're widening all of these north-south roadways. So 77 right now is currently under construction from 20 to I-10. That's going to be four lanes. So you have a four lane all the way from Bay County all the way up to the interstate. Same thing with 79. We're widening that to four lanes. We're going to start in a couple of years widening 231 to six lanes. So we can have those evacuation routes available. You can get away from here quickly, but just leave beforehand, get out as quickly as you can, and just have your route and use those roadways. Those are going to be your best ways to get out of town.
I was looking at this, actually reading about it and reading about local evacuations the other day, and what worries me a little bit is I-10 is not very, it's only four lanes where these roads dump into. Is that going to cause a problem, or is the fact that I-10 is so limited in access that it's able to handle that kind of traffic?
I-10 is a different monster compared to the rest of the roadways that we have throughout the area. I-10 can handle that capacity. There's enough exits and things for that area that people can get north. Basically, once we get that traffic moving, we can get them up to the interstate. We can get them moving east or west. Mm-hmm. Luckily for us, we also have our ITS, which is our Intelligent Transportation System, that's in place. The entire interstate is monitored electronically. We've got sensors. We've got cameras. If we see an issue, we can get out there, get first responders out there. We can get crews out there to get the traffic moving again. So, the first key, let's get you away from the coast, let's get you to the interstate, and then let's get you going from there. But we have systems in place so we can keep that traffic moving. And then obviously, as it comes towards the coastline, people are going to get to the interstate and then try to find another way north or get away from that storm. But that's the case. But we've got staff on hand ready to go. And then any of our construction zones, I mentioned 77 and 79, they're under construction. But our crews and our contractors know that if a storm is coming, we meet way in advance. We get prepared, and we get those teams out there, and we move as much stuff off of that road as we can. Any sort of barricades or anything in, that would cause a delay in that traffic, we get all that equipment moved. We get those barricades moved so we can get that traffic moving. That's a key component as well, because while they're under construction, that can be an issue. That's a concern people have.
Sure.
So we get them off of the roadway so we can get people moving north.
Very good.
Yeah, it is the peak of hurricane season right now, so anything could happen. And on a note, the Harvey relief efforts.
Sure.
The Bay County Sheriff's Office sent out a notice this morning that there is a scam alert in place now.
Of course. Of course.
Because of Hurricane Harvey fraudulent relief effort calls. And that info is on our Facebook page from the sheriff.
Very good.
Yeah. So that was sad to see. I was saddened to see that.
Hurricane season wraps up when?
November 1st.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got a little time.
Yeah, we've got a ways to go.
Statistically, the busiest day in the Atlantic hurricane season is September the 12th.
Okay.
And we will have to tranquilize the other Brandon on that day.
Yeah. Well, he does do the hurricane dance.
He is, yeah. And there is a very, it looks like, long-term early model predictions. We've got another
invest in the Atlantic.
We got another invest in the Atlantic over by Cape Verde. It looks like it's heading this way. Most of the models are taking it kind of up along the East Coast, but these are 10-12 day models,
sure,
so
they don't
mean a lot at this point.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody takes it one way, and the Canadians take it another. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm not sure who's traffic directing that model, but it seems to be a little weird.
We have Ian Satter from Florida Department of Transportation here with us, and we'll take a quick break since we're talking about weather. We've got Jerry Tabbitt online here to give us a little weather update, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about what roads are yours, because I know I've had the discussion in my own home about what moment should we yell at Ian. Yeah.
They were. I think they were stuck on Jenks Avenue, and you were getting blamed for it.
You know, that's the curse, because I come talk to you guys every month, which I love doing. I love getting the information out, and sometimes I've got to go talk to the television stations, and sometimes they probably people just cursing under their breath when they see me coming up on TV.
It's him.
I get cornered quite a bit on that kind of stuff.
Well, it's 9:30. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station in HD.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Grab the umbrella when you head out today. Showers and thunderstorms return to our forecast, and they're going to be with us all day long. We start with temperatures in the 70s, warming into the mid-80s by lunchtime. Highs today only into the upper 80s with east-southeast winds 5 to 10, and a couple of storms could produce some brief locally heavy rain. For GC 90.7 FM and HD, I'm News 13 Senior Meteorologist Jerry Tabbitt.
A blend of your favorite rock, pop, and country classics. You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 FM, WKGC.
Well, she seemed all right by dawn's early light, though she looked a little worried and weak. She tried to pretend he wasn't drinking again. Daddy left the proof on her cheek. I was only 8 years old that summer, and I always seemed to be in the way. So I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
talk about your revolution. It's Independence Day. Let freedom.
Mix on 90.7 WKGC, and a little music there from Martina McBride, and tried to jump things there with Golden Earring. No golden earrings today.
No golden earrings.
No, I took mine out.
Okay.
In the studio with us this morning from the Florida Department of Transportation, a job title that I don't remember that he just told me. Public Information Officer sounds good. Public
it's
Information.
It's spokesperson. Three.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
People ask me, your title. I was like, just... Spokesperson.
Spokesperson. This is Ian Satter, and we like having you in because mm-hmm. you always provide for us a lot of great information, and our listeners as well. And one of the things that we argue about even in my household, because I try to come to your defense, you know, this is not a road that we can yell at Ian for. So
right.
How do we know the difference between the roads the Department of Transportation is in charge of and somebody else is?
Most of your major highways are going to be us, obviously. Okay. The key thing there is look at the sign. It's the white sign with the number and the little silhouette of the of Florida, okay. The black and white signs. That's us. So it can be confusing because you'll see a road. It's 89.
Like a state road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a state road. So, we're
so you don't come up with cool names like Tom Hoots Highway or something, you know?
Usually that's an act of the legislature.
Yeah.
Don't like me right now.
We have a designation for State Road 390, and if one of the fine members of the legislature wanted to have it named something, then that takes an act of the legislature, then that sign would go up. But
okay.
For us, it's always... State Road 390, it is I-10.
Highway 77?
State Road 77, yeah.
Or absolutely. State Road 77.
That's just me talking. Sorry. Sure. Call it what you will. I mean, that's just...
Right, but if you see a county road like County Road 2315, that's mm-hmm. actually Star Avenue.
Right.
And that's the county is responsible. And then are there some roads that cities are responsible mm-hmm. for?
Absolutely.
And okay. Those two mingle as well. So what about Jinx Avenue? Is that a state road a county road
Jinx
or a city
road? Jinx is a county road.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But for example...
Until it gets to, is it like 23rd or down there? Where it changes at one point to a city road... Doesn't it? No?
I do not know. It's okay. Kind of out of my jurisdiction. Once it's kind of out of mine, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind for me.
Sure.
But yeah, we do sometimes share a road. For example, 23rd Street's a state road.
Okay.
And then obviously State Road 77, as you come up through Lynn Haven, it's also called Ohio. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, some cities will give them their own names, but it's still the state highway system and we're in charge
of it. Is there some road swapping going on out by the airport? Did I hear that?
Road swapping.
Well, it was County Road 388 mm-hmm. a few years back, but we reached an agreement with the county and we've taken over that roadway. So
okay.
It's State Road 388, mm-hmm. which we are in the process of designing for widening that road. So that'll go from a 2-4 lane road.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things we're going to be doing out there as part of that project is right there at the entrance of the airport is going to be a roundabout. So
good.
There won't be a traffic signal there. It's a roundabout. It'll be the biggest one in Northwest Florida on the state highway system.
Really?
We're looking forward to it. They're actually much safer. That's the kind of thing we talk about with people is they're very popular in Europe. They're very popular out east. They're a much safer alternative, but people just don't use them because they don't see them. So
please remember, you yield to the traffic that's already in the circle.
Absolutely.
And
right.
That's the if you remember that one trick and try to use your turn signals to let people know you're getting off at there when they're trying to get on, it's pretty and nobody really ever stops much.
And that's an initiative we're going to take as we start building that, is educating people on how to use them. We've been looking at them throughout not only Northwest Florida but throughout the state. We're building one in Wakulla County as well. They're safer, they're more efficient, they keep traffic moving. So, you know, for us, it makes a lot of sense engineering-wise. It's just going to be upon us to make sure that people understand how to use them. It's a new... It's not new, but people aren't used to driving those. So it's going to be up to us to get people used to that new sort of condition for that roadway.
And why is it a little bit safer? Is it because you don't necessarily have to stop? You don't have to wait on stop lights?
You run the risk when you put in install a stoplight, or you have a stoplight, as you call them, a traffic light there, you increase the opportunity for rear-end collisions to occur. Obviously, more catastrophic crashes can also occur with the T-bone collisions as somebody's coming through the intersection. The roundabout eliminates that, basically. You don't have the ability for the T-bone because there's no way for those two vehicles to be moving at those speeds to collide that way. And then, obviously, the rear-end collisions are obviously much less because you don't have people stopped in traffic waiting for that light and causing that collision. And it really reduces it. I think they're about 30 to 40% safer than your standard intersection.
Wow. The other thing is there's no opportunity for producer Brandon to sit there and try to text while the light's red, holding up traffic when it turns green.
That still amazes me to this day when I'm out there and you see people looking down with one hand on the wheel, looking down, and the light turns, and they kind of glance up and see it's green and start going, but they still got to finish to see what happened with Game of Thrones
that's
last
bad.
Night.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where you just shake your head when you realize the engineering and
that's
the safety
why,
that's
and that's why your car insurance rates are as high as they are, Ian.
Yeah, well, There's work to be done to get people to put those phones down.
Absolutely. Well, give us a little update on the progress of the flyover here by Gulf Coast State College.
Well, one of the things that we're going to be working on, we started this week, that people will see at the 23rd and Collegiate Drive intersection, is we'll be doing clearing and grubbing there. We'll be moving some of the vegetation. But because of part of that project, we're going to enhance that intersection. We're going to increase some turn lanes coming off of Collegiate onto 23rd Street. So that work will be beginning. And then I believe in about 2 weeks from now, the signal at Collegiate and US 98 that's been shut down for over a year, that will become activated.
Okay.
But the caveat to that is that will only allow access to the boat ramp in that area as well as the workforce development office. So people will be able to use that to be able to reach those, but they still won't be able to get onto campus here.
Based on the fact that we're still
doing work there. So it's the start of, that's why we wanted to talk to people. We're going to sign it. We're going to make people aware of, but it's important to tell people here today that while that signal will be open for partial access to the campus here still is a little ways off.
But ultimately, you will be able to reach the campus through that intersection?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's no way to sneak by the Workforce Center? You're going to cone that off or something?
Well, if you've driven down that area, you'll realize it's pretty impassable based on the work that we're doing, and there will be barricades and barrels and other things up to ensure.
Your VW is not going to make it through there.
Mm-hmm. For your safety.
Yeah. Fine.
You can try, but I don't think it'll work.
Well, can we jump to another end of the county then?
Sure.
Tell me about this Weewaw Highway widening project. You've got a meeting coming up, so this is one that has not started yet, but it's going to be pretty big.
Yep, we are going to be widening a portion of State Road 22 through that area, especially through that Tyndall intersection. We're going to be revamping that. We're going to be opening that up to about four lanes. It's about a three-mile project. We've got a public meeting coming up this Thursday in Callaway at their, if I remember the name
correctly. The Arts and Conference Center.
The Arts and Conference Center. Beautiful facility. I was just there last week for another meeting. So we encourage everybody to come on out. Obviously, public input is very important. We're still in the design phase, so we need people to come out, let us know if there's any tweaks, any concerns that they may have. But obviously, as you go to a four-lane facility, you're going to have changes out there. Access to businesses will be changed because we'll be putting in a center concrete median through that area. That project, I believe, is coming up in about 2 to 3 years when we'll start that project. But obviously, with design, it's important to get out there and talk to the people about that project. Another project we've got coming up, we met last week and informed people, is the Gulf Coast Parkway project, which has been talked about for years. We're finally getting started on a portion of that. That's going to be a two-lane road starting from US 98 to Star Avenue, and eventually that'll branch off into an area of Mexico Beach and then also head north towards 231 near the ports facility in that area. So that's still a few years out before that project begins, but you know, a lot of major projects going on that we're, you know, getting a head start on, and you're going to see a lot of changes. The traffic's increasing. People are moving to this area. We've got to find a way to deal with it before it becomes an issue.
Now, oftentimes you have a public meeting before you get things started. Who should come to those meetings?
That's a good question. You know, for me, I always say everybody. But if you live in that area, you work in that area, if you travel through that area, it's important that you come. We invite all the property owners within 300 feet of the right-of-way to attend. We advertise it. We make no secret that we're having these meetings. It's very important for us that we have people come out because this is a roadway that people are going to use for years to come. And if you live in that area, if you work in that area, you're going to have a say. We want you to have a say in that. It's part of our process. And from beginning to end, whether we do our initial study, we have meetings for that. When we move into the design phase, we have meetings for those. And then we move to construction, we also have a meeting. We want to keep people informed the whole time. So if you have any interest in that area, if you're going to be driving through that area, we encourage you to come out. It's informal. We've got plenty of staff. You just come in, ask any question, take a look at the information we have, and if we can't answer your question that night, we will definitely get back to you.
And if you don't come out and keep yourself informed, don't blame Ian if you didn't
like the way he did it.
You cannot complain to Ian anymore if you don't go to the meetings.
That is the curious thing is, you know, people for years will say, well, I had no idea about this. Well, we've been talking about it for 5 years, 6 years, and we've had public meetings, and I'll say, well, we've had these opportunities, and well, I didn't know about that. I'm like, well, I'm showing that we sent you a letter. You know, and obviously, you know, you see a letter coming from Florida DOT, you're not thinking you've just won Publisher's Clearinghouse or anything else. You just say, okay, and maybe set it aside. So, you know, we try all sorts of different ways to reach out to people to get to come to these meetings. But it is important. We understand people's busy schedules. They can't always make it. And we provide information on our website. We do everything we can to keep people informed.
What is that website?
It's nwflroads.com. And all of our future projects and current projects, information is all out there for people to see. And if your information is not in there that you're looking for, give us a call. You can always give our offices a call up at our Chipley office or any one of our operations centers, and they'll be more than happy to answer your questions as well.
Very good. What else y'all got? We've got a few minutes with them, so
please
pepper him with questions.
Well,
put him in the hot seat.
Let's go back to the DuPont Bridge then.
Okay.
And tell us how things are going. What exactly are the improvements being made there?
Well, we're resurfacing that roadway. It's about 18 miles, basically from the bridge all the way into Mexico Beach area. It's kind of an interesting job because we're working, some restrictions are for night, some are for during the day. So we've made a lot of progress out there. We're going to be adding some bicycle lanes, some Americans with Disability improvements out there as well. We're adding a turn lane near Tyndall, near the school out there. So we're doing all that work to getting that resurfaced because next year we're actually going to start a construction project out there to build a flyover at the Tyndall entrance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important that we keep that roadway to keep it operating as optimal as possible, obviously, because we want to make sure we can assist, you know, the U.S. Air Force and their mission out there to do what they can do. And it's important for us to keep that facility in tip-top condition for them. So that's another project we've got going on out there in the eastern part of the county.
Has it caused any problem with traffic yet with the base and that entrance there?
Yeah, that's
Like it'd be more problematic.
It's a coordinated effort, obviously, you know, with the amount of traffic they have coming in and out of there, with staff and different hours. We try to coordinate what we're doing out there is when their shift changes are, so we don't want to impact them. Again, a lot of times what we're trying to do out there is at the times where they're not having their peak amount of traffic. But a lot of that segment is very rural, so we can do that work during the day. When you're laying asphalt, there has to be a certain temperature. Luckily for us in the summertime, it's not that big of an issue. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as we move further along into the year and the nighttime temperatures get colder, we have to look at those as well. But you know, it's a coordinated effort. We just have to make sure that we're working with them to make sure we have the least amount of impact as possible.
What about Malfunction Junction here in Panama City? Every time I cross through there, and I'm about to do it a lot, my daughter goes to dance, and I have to go down that way, and it's a
mess. We're talking about 231, 77, Harrison Avenue, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much every street in Panama City just kind of collects right there.
Collides at a weird angle, obviously. Yeah, to this day, when I talk to engineers about that, they still shake their heads as to how is that a standard at some point, because design changes always change. You will see changes in that. We're conducting our study. We're finishing it up for 231, and that's going to be part of our widening project.
Okay.
So what you lovingly call Malfunction Junction, in a few years will cease to exist as far as you know it now.
Sure.
The plan is to build a flyover there. On 98 would be the flyover. It would continue to go east and west without having to stop, and then going over that roadway at 231 and realigning that a bit as well near Harrison. Mm-hmm. So that'll all change. And as part of 231, as we widen, we're looking at flyovers on 231 as well at different intersections.
Really?
John Pitts, Star Avenue, that area, that intersection over there, they're going to realign that intersection with Titus so that they will line up. That's a weird intersection.
It is a little weird.
So there'll be a flyover there. There's a flyover plan for 390 at the intersection of 390 and 231. So all that's coming. It's part of our process, but it's a long roadway. It'll be done in segments. We do have an opportunity to start widening 231, starting around the Pipeline Road area. That'll be coming up in a few years. So you'll see some major things going on. But obviously, we can't have all of Bay County under construction at one time.
Why not?
Thank you.
Just based on, you know, not us. You know, we've got things planned. But, you know, obviously, we work with contractors and have to have them come in and do these jobs. And, you know, obviously, it's a great economic boom for the county to be able to employ these people to do these projects. But there's only so much they can do at a time. So
when you go through and widen 231 and you go to like Youngstown, will that widening happen there? Or does it go back down to two lanes, or what's the plan for that?
The plan is basically to reach State Road 20 at this point, and then we'll look at it from there as whether there's a need. Obviously, the traffic issues in the lower part of Bay County in that area are much more significant than they are north of 20. But it's one of those things we'll have to look at. If the traffic data indicates that there's a need there, you know, then we'll study that area and move forward. But there obviously is a need to widen 231 from Malfunction Junction to State Road 20.
Is there any thought on doing any work on State Road 20? I drive that a bit, and it can be quite busy.
That's a good question. I think a few years back, we made an emphasis to look at our north-south routes to widen those. There was a look at looking at, do we widen those roadways north of I-10 to the Alabama line? Well, the question becomes, do the studies indicate that's a necessity? And a lot of those studies preliminary are showing probably not. But one of the emphasis that we're seeing now with our Secretary of Transportation, Philip Gaynor, he's the Secretary of Transportation Director for District 3 here in Northwest Florida, he's recognizing that there really is a need for east-west movement. Obviously, you have I-10 and 98, and that's about it.
Right.
But 20 is a two-lane roadway. It runs through a good portion of the district. And it really could add some relief to US 98 and some other roadways. So that's probably going to be our next biggest study area. Our next biggest project area is to widen 20, look at areas that we can improve 20 to alleviate some of those traffic issues on 98.
Because I know you travel down south.
And I do.
The question is, do you go up to 10 or do you take the back roads?
It depends on, right now with 20, it depends on the time of day you're traveling on 20, because it's a lot faster to get to I-10 if you're going Jacksonville or over to 75 or something. It's a lot faster to go up through Greensboro. That seems to be the quickest route, and I've tried them all many, many times. And that's a nice route, but it depends on the time of day. During rush hour, people are getting to and from work on 20. It gets quite busy. It's and you can be idling along at 40 miles an hour, which means darn I wish I was on I-10 at this point.
And it's a popular route for a lot of the trucking companies. Yes. Sure. The loggers tend to use that route because they know that they're not going to have the traffic impacts that they're dealing with in other areas. But it is a concern, and you know, moving east-west traffic is always going to be an issue for us. That's why we're going to be widening 98 Back Beach Road. That's come up. We're looking at the Gulf Coast Parkway that we're building, that's kind of east of here, but there's also the West Bay Parkway that we're studying, which would be north near like 388 area, where we can move traffic east and west into Walton County.
Back Beach Road.
Yeah, that's always something that's been brought up. I know that that's a discussion. That would be years down the road, just the amount of engineering and study that would take. I think right now that's just kind of one of these things that is sort of this in the background, always somebody asking us about it. It's not in the future right now, but you never know, things could change. I think right now our priority, let's get Back Beach Road widened and look at what other alternatives are available to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the studio this morning with Ian Satter from the Florida Department of Transportation. We'll let you out of the hot seat. Good job again.
I don't mind. I like it.
Good job. Now, tomorrow we have a guest roundtable. Bay County Sheriff's Office is in. And Life Management Center.
That's right. We're going to talk about some how youth get involved in drugs and gangs. And this is... Well, the topic comes to light from the recent shooting that involved some high school students, as well as some out-of-town drug dealers. And they're all young people, you know, just because they're not minors. There does seem to be a lot of young people involved in that type of crime in the city. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how kids fall in with gangs and why kids want to use drugs. And so hopefully there'll be some helpful information both for parents and for anyone that's in need, some resources in the community for anyone that might want to get some help.
And of course, on Thursday, we've got Brent Peacock in from the VBOC.
The Veterans Business Outreach Center. And he's going to tell us about some of, well, some of his outreach, sure, some of the seminars he gives to help veteran business owners.
And of course, Brent is no stranger to the airwaves of WKJC.
Not at all.
That's right.
He used to work here. And True Soul, like you said, is on coming in on Friday mornings.
Mm-hmm. We'll have some live music and a little teaser on what you can expect for Backstage Pass on Friday evening.
Excellent. Just a couple of tunes. We'll head into the 10 o'clock hour. The Beatles will wrap things up, but first a little Save Ferris. This is Come On Eileen on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. You can check out our interview with Ian today on our website, WKGC.org.